Thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. It was The Effeminization of Black Men, Part 2. We got some really good feedback on that. Part 1 and 2 were highly provocative to some people. It's a topic that definitely needs to continue in terms of getting more or having more conversation because it is such a part of the entertainment community, hip-hop, music, and then ultimately society. Again, just shout out Greg McKnight Jr. out of San Diego, a very courageous spoken word artist. So we are expecting that we will have a part 3 and a part 4 coming soon with some new content and some new voices that we want to add to the discussion. So please, where you can find me is at Podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find us at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. You can also find me on Twitter at We Ain't Scared, also at Ferocious Talk or at Ferocious Talk. Also, WeAin'tScared.com. It is undergoing some reconstruction, and so there's some new things, exciting things that are coming. So when you go there and you see that under construction, just know that there are things that are going to be put into place to make it bigger, better, and a little more robust than it was before. So also get over to ferociousforflint.com. Again, ferociousforflint.com. The tour that we are on, we've done 11 shows. And we are actually coming up on our 12th show in Detroit on Saturday, July 15th, and then Flint on Saturday, July the 29th. We've been on a 10-city tour, started last August, and we're actually raising money and awareness, okay, to send water filters back to the residents of Flint, Michigan. They have been suffering with toxic lead in their water supply for over 3 years. It's a tragedy. Excuse me. Now, we want to continue to raise that awareness, and we're looking forward to people coming out. The city of Detroit, the surrounding cities. We will be in Hazel Park, Michigan, and so we're very excited about that. And then we have some other interesting and exciting developments as well that are coming, so stay tuned. Very, very exciting. So also, Black Lives Matter, please keep doing what you're doing. I will always shout out Black Lives Matter because not only is it relevant, but it's important. It's a shame that we have to fight to get people to respect just the idea of respecting Black life. We're not saying we're more important. We're not saying we're less important. We're saying we are equally as important and deserving of the same level of appreciation and respect in America. Racist America, but ultimately, we're not going to be silent and we're going to fight. Why? Because we ain't scared to fight for our rights to be, to live, and raise our families. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. Now, I'm going to take my time with this. As usual, I have a few pages here. I do expect that this particular topic will also be equally as interesting and enthralling as the previous topics. And as always, I'm open for feedback. Thank you to those that text and email and social media. This is very important. The purpose of Ferocious Talk is that we ain't scared to talk about anything. There is nothing off limits. Nothing. I don't believe in that politically correct, well, don't talk about this and don't talk about that. No, we're going to pull the covers back and we're going to talk about the most difficult topics that people run from, that they hide from, that they lie to themselves about. Here, we put everything on Front Street because we know people don't change until they're forced to, right? They get angry, they get upset. And so on this show, all opinions, count. All opinions matter, whether I agree with them or not. That's not the point. On this show, it's about gaining understanding, not agreement. Understanding. I want to understand you, whether I agree, and I need you to understand me, whether or not you agree. That is what this is about. So, the topic for today is, can liberal white people be worse than overt racists? I'll say it again. Can liberal white people be worse than overt racists? So let's go ahead and define this, because that word liberal, it's very interesting, because I know during the recent presidential campaign, Hillary had a lot of support, liberal support, which I don't begrudge, and it's important that we first define it at least as best as I can. I don't claim to have the entire definition, but ultimately, you'll hear things from liberals, and they'll say things like, "Well, some of my good friends are black," you know, or "I have a black friend that I work with," or, you know, "My children play with black children. I encourage it," right? Or they'll say, "I voted for Hillary Clinton. You know, I voted for Barack Obama," and while those things are good, the truth of the matter is that's not enough. So let's go ahead and jump in. I do believe, just on the outset to answer the question, that yes, liberal white people can be worse than overt racists. And I should say some, right? Some, not all, right? Before the train leaves too far out of the station, not all. I will say some. Excuse me. So that is my qualification, okay? And just because they befriend black people, right, whereas overt racists will outright use the word nigger, okay, it does not necessarily mean that, again, liberal white people cannot be equally as damaging. So one person in particular that I will shout out before I get too far into this, there's a supporter on Facebook, and she's been very supportive, Ellen Black. She is definitely a person, a liberal white woman that has donated to the cause. She and I have had many conversations about race, racism, and she definitely is one that rolls up her sleeves. She's open to listen and to learn and basically get in the face of racism. So she's an example of someone that definitely gets it. All right, so let's go ahead and continue. So the point is, to build or create better race relations, better relationships. So the sort of focus is this: lip service is not enough. Saying how bad things are for black people in America is not enough if you're a liberal white person. You gotta do more. Now, there's nothing worse than someone that claims that they are there to help, but instead hurt you. There's a mentality that still exists in this country that some white people have, that and that is, "I feel sorry for them or you." Well, that's not enough, right? Or they have deep sympathy pains at home and they shed a tear about race or racism or the tragedy of racism that they see on TV, and somehow believe that feeling sorry and having sympathy pains is enough. Well, I hate to break it to you, it ain't. It's not enough. Now, when you go, it's not enough, because if you just go back to business as usual after you have these sympathy pains, the problem persists. So we want to get you out of the sympathy pain into the action-oriented mentality, which is confront. You have to confront your white racist neighbors, coworkers, and friends. And to be honest, your white male spouses, right? Let's talk about that, because most liberals, they're white women. If we're going to be perfectly honest, white women are the leading force in the liberal aspect of what I am speaking about. whereas white males tend to be a little more or less, I should say, receptive to the cause or the plight of Black America and what we suffer as a result of racism in America. And the inability to call out your racist friends or identify their prejudiced tendencies contributes to the continued oppression of African Americans. Now, one of the questions I've asked on my show to all the white listeners, and there are quite a few, that claim to be so progressive is, when was the last time you had a Black person over to your house to eat dinner? When was the last time? Now, not at work, where you can't escape Black people because you might work in a diverse environment. I mean, literally, when was the last time you picked up the phone, called that person, that Black person, and said, hey, me and my family, we want to invite you over for dinner. We want to talk. We want to commune with you. Now, that is the definition of progressive and inclusive. And for all those Black people that are listening and saying, A1, come on, man, you got it all wrong. I have plenty of good white people in my life that show me and my Black friends lots of love. We work in a collaborative way at work. We even play basketball together. We go to the park with our kids together. Okay, again, when was the last time those same people invited you over to their house for a meal? That's the real test. Because when you break bread with someone, when you eat a meal with someone, you're connecting on a whole nother level. It's more intimate. It gives you a chance to have a non-distracted conversation about life and hopefully difficult societal subject matter, i.e. race and or racism. Now, the problem with only going together to play games, right, like basketball or football or any other group activity, is that the activity itself is what takes center stage. And it gives the illusion of inclusion. Now, what if those same basketball, football, or league sports, okay, those groups, got together and decided, you know what? Today, we're going to talk about race and racism in America while sitting on that same basketball court or while sitting on that exact same football field. Now, that's a real challenge. And the points that would be scored in that terms, in terms of get together, far outweigh any total points scored by playing the real game. Now, the issue is good white folk, right? They don't push past their discomfort of being in close proximity unless, right, they're competing against us. Okay, then it's okay to be close because we are, in a sense, battling to see who's better, right? That's that competition thing. But what if we flipped the focus to competing to see how white people can compete to see how much better they can be at fighting racism by listening? Okay, listening to their Black counterparts and using that feedback to get more in touch with the reality of being Black in America and how difficult it is, right? And how those same white people, right, that do play basketball or football could be inadvertently contributing to more racism and hatred by not confronting it and by not addressing it. The goal and the purpose is this. If all we do when we get together is avoid the obvious elephant in the room that you are white and I am black, and when we leave one another, my circumstances and my life battles against race and racism are different and more intense. If we don't address that, it's going to continue unchecked and unchanged. We have to get through, we have to push, I should say, ourselves, our white counterparts, to be more accountable, ask more questions, and sometimes just accept the fact that you cannot identify with the black struggle. And that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to resent it. You don't have to feel so uncomfortable that you don't want to have the discussion. But there is almost this attitude of resentment, right? That if they cannot relate to the black existence, that somehow something is wrong. No. There are things that black people go through in life that the only thing at a lot, in most instances, that you can do to help is to just be quiet, listen, and learn. So, again, I'm not saying that all white liberals don't do it. Some do. But I think if there's going to be any middle ground, the enormous number of people that claim to be liberal and progressive, they're going to have to push themselves even more in order for this whole shift to change in the national narrative of race and racism in America. Well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.